Now, I do want to talk before I go about technology. I think we're all pretty comfortable with the idea that there's a smartphone app for nearly absolutely everything, whether it's drawing us closer to people, drawing us away from people, getting us some free mind space, or making sure that we're concentrating harder. It's absolutely everything. They can be productive tools, but compulsive phone use has become a bit of a well-documented issue, and many suggest it has a really quite noticeable negative effect on our daily lives, even our careers and our relationships. So is it possible to be addicted to your phone? Well, Jocelyn Brewer is a psychologist who's worked extensively looking at the psychology of technology. Jocelyn, very good morning to you.
Good morning.
Now, smartphone addiction, is this a real thing?
Short answer, no. I really like what you said in your introduction that it's a compulsive use of something. So a compulsion is not necessarily an addiction.
Okay.
I guess what when we're pathologizing maybe some of our daily activities, and what I talk about sometimes is our addiction to the use of the word addiction to describe the activities that we do and we kind of enjoy, but we feel a little bit guilty or bad about, and we probably know that we could use a really, really complex piece of technology called our brain to overcome our compulsion to keep, you know, checking and scrolling and doing some of those things. So I guess, you know, from an academic point of view, there is a big movement to talk about and get really clear on what addiction is from a behavioural or process point of view. And you might have heard that the World Health Organization actually wants to categorise video games as an addiction. And that's, you know, another kind of bunch of coconuts in terms of smartphone and using a smartphone. It's probably more the activities that you do, and they're narrowing down, I guess, to particularly video games as having some of the addictive qualities that we might see in poker machines, for instance.
So, that risk and reward kind of flow?
Yes, yeah, lots of complex psychological hooks and things that happen in these games and the way that they're designed in order to keep us in there and to keep us engaged. So, you know, I talk a lot about how could we actually use some of those things in the classroom in an offline world to keep people engaged and in flow in their learning, for instance. So, you know, as a lot of families, I guess, in the holidays, they've noticed their kids go down the rabbit hole of technology use and heading back to the classroom, when is it, next week, I think? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Look, I know a lot of people get kind of really panicky about the idea of screen time, especially for kids, especially for, you know, even adults as well. But I know you kind of talk more about something called digital nutrition. What is that?
Yeah, so I came up with digital nutrition when I was doing a radio interview off the cuff and they were talking about digital detoxes. And I was like, hold on, is technology toxic and do we really want to start having a conversation about getting offline and doing these kind of really restrictive behaviours? And for me, having worked with young people for the last 15 years, I started talking about it from a nutrition point of view, from how can we actually set up a relationship with technology that is giving us the best aspects of it and then keeping us in control. So I guess it just uses the food analogy, so healthy eating, sometimes foods, everyday foods, and thinking about a thing I call virtual vitamins. So what kinds of things within apps and games would you look for in order for them to kind of be healthy? So is there an element of play? I call vitamin C is creativity, vitamin E is empathy. So actually looking a bit deeper and more nuanced at things. So rather than, I guess, counting digital calories in the form of screen time or minutes, but actually like what is the content of what you're doing? What's the context of it? You know, are you alone in your room playing a first-person shooter? Are you playing a really creative, narrative-driven game with your friends in, you know, a room in the house that adults can access? So there's lots of big questions that don't easily fit into a clickbait headline, I guess, that we need to be asking, especially like it's 2018, it's not 10 years ago when I guess our use of technology was much narrower.
It's true, because I think that many of the, I probably shouldn't say wowser-ish, but I am going to say wowser-ish, kind of views of like technology, it feels like a baby in bathwater situation, that we're not acknowledging the many benefits that can come from it.
Absolutely. And I think most people who are frightened of it have very little real-world interaction with it beyond maybe having, you know, like my mum having their smartphone and saying, oh, look, I can FaceTime my grandchild when she's overseas. Isn't that great? But look at everyone on the train using it. And I'm like, you know, we never sat on the train having an in-depth conversation with a random stranger each morning. Like that didn't happen. We sat there with our broadsheet newspapers. So I guess every generation, you know, there is change, and that change brings fear from the older generation who thinks, yes, we should be protecting young people, but we don't really understand whatever piece of technology is coming along, whether that be the Beatles or Elvis Presley or the television with the cathode ray tube. So that's part of generational change, but we do, you know, I guess my other message is, not that there's no problems with technology, just that we maybe need to be really, really clear and savvy and informed about what that is and not get too panicked about it.
Jocelyn, for people who are interested in the concept of digital nutrition, either for themselves or for family members, are there resources mm-hmm. that can be found?
Yeah, look, I have a website, digitalnutrition.com.au. If you type those two words into your favourite search engine, you will find my stuff. I tweet a lot. So, you know, and there's lots of people kind of talking about similar things to me. And there's a whole fantastic community of resources that I have on my resources page to link you into other people and conversations and different things that you can access.
We're going to make sure... Sorry.
No, I was just going to say for all ages, you know, this isn't just a conversation about kids, but a lot of millennials, I guess, are finding themselves getting really swamped around their tech use because it's so much a part of work as well. That yeah. work-life balance becomes really, really hectic for a lot of people, myself included. That's, I guess, part of why I started this journey.
We will make sure that there's links to all of your info up on the 2SER.com website. Thank you so much for your time this morning. I'll let you get back to someone who seems like they need a little bit of attention in the background there.
Without giving her too much screen time, because that's the trap, right? Baby cries. Wiggle, watch the wiggle.
Jocelyn Burrow, thank you so very much.
Cheers, Nick. Thank you.
Jocelyn Burrow there. As we said, a psychologist, she's been looking at the psychology of technology for a long time. She talks a lot about the idea of digital nutrition. Details are going to be up on 2SER.com.